When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back on the channel, the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com. Travis Ryer on a Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon, as we get news that James Brockermeyer, Alabama center, has entered or has plans to enter the transfer portal. And with that, we bring on our senior writer, Charlie Potter. And Charlie, it has been fairly quiet in terms of exits for this Alabama football program where the transfer portal is concerned. We did hear Curtis Perry, the second-year defensive lineman, headed into his third year in the program here in the last couple of days, decided to make the move on his own. But maybe more so a little bit surprising where Brockermeyer is concerned, even with the understanding that Parker Brailsford, the Washington transfer, still very much in play, the expectation being that he's going to be a part of this thing moving forward too. But how did that strike you when we got that news on Wednesday afternoon?
I was a little surprised. Going back to Curtis Perry, not him specifically, but you look at the numbers that Alabama had along the defensive line, that was kind of a position that made a lot of sense. Kalen DeBoer, Kane Womack, a lot of guys throughout the spring kind of talked about the depth up front defensively. And so that's kind of a, you know, blinking light in terms of maybe that's where you look at the deflection after the spring practice or spring season ends. But offensive line wise, that was a position group on the opposite side of things where Kalen DeBoer mentioned, just from a sheer number standpoint, that defensive back is where Alabama is going to look in the transfer portal. So to see a guy at the center position, which doesn't have a ton of experience at all, really, lose a guy that ended the spring working with the first team is a little surprising. Now, you mentioned it. I think that kind of bodes well for what Alabama believes in the future of Parker Brailsford. And we heard earlier this week, I don't remember if it was on Hey Coach or when he was talking to the next round, but he said that Kalen DeBoer said he expects Parker Brailsford to be full go in workouts this summer. And again, he mentioned it was not really something about him wanting to leave, just working through some specific things or things specific to him. So I think with this, it has to be a positive sign just in terms of where things stand with Parker Brailsford. But nonetheless, a little surprising to see James Brockermeyer, a guy who ended the spring working with the first team, hop in the portal today.
It seems almost since the completion of the A-Day game, Charlie, we've heard Kalen DeBoer speak with a high level of confidence in relation to Parker Brailsford and his availability moving forward. He's been a little bit more specific, as you outlined right there, maybe in the last few days, the last week or so, but he really hasn't wavered from the expectation that Parker Brailsford, still a part of this thing, issues not related to football, totally expected to be a part of things moving forward. And with that, you had to think they didn't bring Parker Brailsford in to be the backup. Now, that took a little bit of a shift when he didn't really participate all that much in spring practice, because certainly if you're Kalen DeBoer and Coach Cap and that offensive staff, you'd love to have had Parker be able to transition more into his new situation at Alabama. But this is a former second team all Pac-12 performer at the position. So from that perspective, Kalen DeBoer at least knows exactly what he's getting here.
Yeah, and I think for Parker, he has the benefit of having played in this offense. Now, granted, you know, that was with Scott Huff, who was briefly at Alabama, now with the Seahawks. So you don't want to discredit the importance of spring practice. I think there's a lot of benefit to it, but we've seen guys before, come in the summer and make an immediate impact. Heck, Caden Proctor is going to try to do the exact same thing, but he's going to have to learn this new offense. Parker Brailsford has the benefit of having spent a whole year in it and learning multiple positions, playing guard to start out and then moving over to center. So I think you're right, though. The confidence here of late, and really, I don't think his confidence really wavered when he made any public comments. Kalen DeBoer was very measured in the way that he approached this. Going back to, I think that was the first scrimmage he got asked about it. With basketball season, I missed him, so I don't even remember when those happened. But you know, going into the A-Day game, he was asked about his availability and continued to kind of hammer that point of, you know, he hasn't been able to practice, but, you know, the confidence is there that he'll not only be back, but be a big part of this team. But from a depth standpoint, what they've talked about throughout the spring in terms of the offensive line, it's never ideal to lose a guy, even a guy that seems to have a good spring like James Brockmeyer did.
Yeah, Landon Dickerson's a guy that comes to mind too. I think Landon showed up during the early stages of fall camp and pretty much jumped in there quickly for the Alabama offensive line a few years ago. And you talk about numbers just for the offensive line now. I know you keep up with that for us with the scholarship numbers and things like that. It is an area as a unit as a whole, even with the early enrollees jumping into the mix pretty heavily in March and April, that there was a bit of a concern there. Now, you know, assuming Brailford is the guy at center, you start thinking about depth, though, and some possibilities where some young guys are concerned, because we saw Joseph Iannata, especially in the A-Day game, look like he was more of an option there with the twos. But as we know, and we've heard Cap and other coaches before him talk about it, so many guys at those interior spots take snaps nowadays, four, five, six different guys. So whereas you break it down, ones, twos, and A-Day and say, well, it looks like it could be Iannata, and maybe it will be. Maybe he is the guy next up. You got to understand there's a lot of contingency plans that go into play when you think about an important position like center.
No doubt. Yeah. And I think that's a position that I know it's a new staff, but Alabama really wants to shore up given the inconsistencies this past year. And there's just not a lot of experience. Brailsford is the most experienced guy in the room, and he's coming in into his second year of college and in a new spot and obviously dealing with some things off the field. But yeah, we saw, you know, Joe with the second team. I think a guy like Rock Montgomery is someone that could also give them some depth there. I think William Sanders is also another guy that has gotten some reps at center. I can't remember if he did in the 8A game or not. But, you know, those three, you look at that, that's just two true freshmen and a guy that played in two games as a reserve last year. So not a ton of experience. Maybe a guy like Casey Poe, who was, I believe, the number two interior offensive lineman in last year's class, gets a look, and he's moved kind of all over the offensive line. We saw him work at tackle in the A-Day game. So there is some promising young depth there, some promising young talent. But, you know, we've seen the last several years at Alabama, there's kind of been revolving doors, a bad term, but for lack of a better word, that's what it's been at center with Darian Dalcourt and Seth McLaughlin. But, you know, you never know what can happen with that. With uncertainty for a guy like Parker Brailsford that we've already seen, you maybe want a more experienced option. So this is, for me, you'd have to crank down the numbers from a scholarship standpoint, but center now becomes a spot that maybe Alabama looks to in the portal.
And you wonder how easy of a sell that is, because you did bring Brailsford with you from Washington. So, you know, understanding that this is a time where the window in April, the spring window, opens when, you know, there's a lot of discussion between DeBoer and the coaching staff and the returning players about where you sit, where you project, at least heading into August. Doesn't mean some of these guys can't make a run during fall camp or through the summer months, but the sell of going to perhaps a portal entrant coming from elsewhere, and that individual knowing that Brailsford's there and was the starter for DeBoer a year ago, may not be the easiest sale. So it may be that you have a very experienced guy in Brailsford, and you have to figure it out between perhaps some young guys and, oh, maybe some other veterans that you could rep up. I guess Tyler Booker, maybe you could rep up some at center if you needed to. Jaden Roberts doesn't really strike me as a center type, although I wouldn't put anything past Jaden. Those seem to be the options, and you talked about it. Maybe you dig into that portal a little bit and see if you can see a willing participant in a scenario like the one we're outlining right now. You talked about Curtis Perry a little bit too earlier. We wanted to go ahead and touch on the movement that we've seen the last couple of days while we've got you here. And you alluded to this. I don't think defensive line, you could be surprised by all that much if you saw a guy or two, or maybe even more, hit the portal, because both inside and outside, Alabama with an abundance of quality options.
Yeah, I mean, I think Curtis was someone that was going to benefit from the change defensively, you know, working at that bandit position. You know, that's more suited to his body type. He's a guy that came in, I think, you know, 260, maybe even lighter, and he's kind of stayed around that range, maybe up to 275. But you know, we see Jamarion Latham, LT Overton. If that makes sense for that bandit spot off the edge. And I think he had a good spring. And I think, you know, Alabama fans on our board were, of course, sad to see him go. But you think of those two guys, you think of Keon Keeley moving over to bandit. You have a guy like Jordan Renaud, who we didn't even see in the spring game. You know, it's regardless of where you're at on the defensive front, it's a logjam. So I think Curtis is a guy that's been in the program. He's an in-state kid. I think he's just looking for a new opportunity. And yeah, I mean, you look at it, that's four transfer portal departures on the defensive line since the December window, or maybe even before. I think guys like Isaiah Hastings hopped in pretty early. But you know, that's some depth. But Alabama's still in a good position. They're with 14 scholarship guys along that defensive front, and that's including Keeley. So 13 true defensive linemen. That's still a pretty good number. And you look at the guys they have coming back, whether it's Latham, you add in guys like Tim Keenan, Tim Smith, Jaheim Otis, James Smith, Damon Payne. You keep going down the list. Alabama's got a good defensive line room. So like you and I said, for them to lose someone at that position is not that surprising, but he's a guy that I thought would benefit from the new scheme. And, you know, maybe he looks to find something similar to that to maybe thrive at some new school.
I think you make a great point. We talked about this in the past, beneficiaries of change. When you start turning over offensive and defensive concepts and schemes, but that can work both ways too, because you mentioned Keon Keeley, you know, kind of thought Keon Keeley would be what, that wolf position perhaps, but now he's in the mix as more of an end or a bandit. And that impacts, I'm sure, a guy like Curtis Perry, even though in terms of measurables and things like that and skill set, Curtis probably better suited for what Alabama's doing right now. And we talk about the portal. It hasn't been just departures. And I know right now at BamaOnline.com, you've got a great update on Graham Nicholson, the transfer kicker from Miami of Ohio. The numbers are pretty damn good on their own, but then the feedback that you've been able to get, boy, some of the names when you talk about comps and, you know, how this guy stacks up maybe with some really all-time greats in the National Football League right now. We're not talking about guys who have just made it in the NFL. The comparisons have been glowing, to say the least.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Andrew Gantz is he's maybe his number one fan. And, you know, it's – those are the – when you're doing interviews, those are the quotes that your eyes kind of light up a little bit. But I think that you look at what he was able to do. I mean – he's a guy that won the Lou Groza Award. He's an All-American. You know how hard it is as a specialist to be consistent and to make 25 straight field goals, to make a field goal in every game. You know, regardless of the conditions, he's a guy that I think is going to help Alabama, because it's a – I think my favorite thing when talking to Andrew was about Graham was the fact that he's not coming in to replace Will Reichard. You know, I think they both – really appreciate and respect what Will is able to do. And they're different kickers. It sounds like Graham has a monster leg. You know, the kickoffs are going to excel at the back of the end zone. And he's a guy that he's going to get pissed whenever they don't trot him out there for a 60-yard field goal. He has all the confidence in the world, a big leg. And, you know, hearing Sebastian Janikowski and Justin Tucker, those make your eyebrows go up, no doubt. But I think he's a guy that he wants to get a little bit more exposure for the next level. He wants to repeat as a Groza Award winner. And damn it if he doesn't want to be the next first-round draft pick.
You know, and it sounds like almost Will from a year ago. I'm sure Graham Nicholson could have jumped into the 2024 NFL draft and perhaps – you know, found a home, certainly in preferred undrafted free agency. I'm sure he would have landed in a camp, but by going from Miami to Alabama, kind of a step up, more of a big stage for him to perform on, and then position himself for the NFL in a year's time. And we talk about the NFL draft. You ready for Thursday night, Charlie? You ready to see if it's three or four Alabama players that go in the first round, although it certainly seems to be trending that way with a quartet from the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, I do think it's leaning more toward four. I think that Dallas, Therrien and JC seem like slam dunks. It's wild to be talking about this now, given maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, you would think that Kool-Aid would be in that range too. And I think he's kind of slid more into that. I think what he was able to do after the combine, some teams liked. So it's going to be interesting to see, though, what happens those first or after those first seven picks, because those kind of seem like they're starting to fall together. At least we don't know who's going to make them. I think there's going to be some trade ups for some quarterbacks, but those quarterbacks and receivers are going to come off the board early, and then we'll see what the Falcons do at eight. I think Dallas Turner makes a ton of sense there, but you know, your Jags need a corner. There's a ton of teams at the back end of that first round that need defensive back help. And you know, I've seen a lot of mocks with him going with Kool-Aid going to the Lions. You know, pair him with Brian Branch. I think that'd be a lot of fun to watch. I think the Chiefs could use some cornerback help after losing, you know, some big names in free agency. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think four feels safe. Three is a given, but four feels pretty safe right now.
Yeah, my Jags pick at 17, and I think if Therrien Arnold goes off the board before they can pick him, you might see the Jags trade back rather than sit there and just take the best available type of situation maybe on their board. So that'll be very interesting. Positive momentum, no doubt, for those four Alabama players heading into the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. And by the way, before we get out of here, just some hoops buzz going on too right now. It just never stops either, boy. Nate Oates, he's something else. And you talk about the potential for a monster roster, Charlie Potter, between the positivity of what you're hearing about a couple of these guys like Mark Sears, Grant Nelson, what you continue to see in terms of Nate's work in the transfer portal and what could still be in the works for Alabama, LeBaron Filon, maybe to Alabama. There's, I can't keep up with Nate these days.
No, it's nuts. And I will say, you know, we read other sites, whether it's in this network or others. And with Tim doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's not just going to tell you what you want to hear. So when he says something, pay attention.
Yeah, his nickname isn't Sweet and Low.
No, right? So it's the possibility of what is out there is preseason number one potential. If Alabama can stay healthy, if they can develop some of those young players and then that get that group to mesh, Alabama could get right back to the Final Four. Now, we'll see if it comes to fruition. As Tim likes to say, these situations are fluid. But right now, man, with what's out there, golly. I mean, and Nate's doing it. He's doing it now with two assistant coaches. And look what he did last year with no help. So imagine if he had a full staff to work with.
Yeah, I can't pay that guy enough right now. Right. If you're Greg Byrne in Alabama. And by the way, we got a guy Lee out of Charlie. If that doesn't kind of tell you the excitement level right now for Charlie to give us a guy Lee, I mean, that's that's getting out there a little bit. Hey, Charlie, great work with us. And by the way, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, you definitely need to do that. Hit the subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. You'll get all of this YouTube content as it drops. Hit us with a like if you don't mind. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. And of course, if you want the in-depth goods on the Alabama Crimson Tide from Charlie Potter, Tim Watts, Joseph Hastings, Andrew Bone, Clint Lamb, Jimmy Stein, you're going to find it right there on the Roundtable, our premium message board at BamaOnline.com. Be sure to hang out with us there as well. Always appreciate it, Charlie, and we'll probably be doing this again very soon.
It's always busy season, man.
It is, no doubt about it. For Charlie Potter, Travis Schreier, thanks for joining us right here on the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com. And until next time, so long, everyone.